American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And good day, this is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, April 4th, 2005. And today is Ronan Sariad's birthday, so we're going to give a super big shout out to Ronan Sariad, even though he does not happen to listen to the show, I don't think. But all of us out there can go hunt down Ronan Sariad and see if you can find him somehow.
Actually, yeah, that's what he wants.
Yeah. That's what he wants. And everyone will find him, and then he'll be able to. I think he's somewhere in deep Istanbul or something like that, you know, geeking people all over the world for the rights of the free universe. Yes, that's right. And this is Newsreel, your source, and Ronan Sariad's source, for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny in all the world that I would travel. Okay, all the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And you ever notice that there's no more happy music? Back in the 80s, everything was all like, you know, what the hell was that song about? Kyrie-a-a-a? What the hell is that all about? Or Life is Life, dot, dot, like Opus.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Bands like that. Now it's all like Slipknot, you know, and like, you know,
Life is shit.
You know, I mean, seriously, I'm going to make a band, call it Life is Shit, and it'll be, you know, we'll play on rant. It'll be good.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah.
You've got a happy name. Porn on Beta? Porn on Beta is a happy name.
I guess so.
It's a pretty happy. Porn's good. Nobody's.
Porn's good.
You know, it depends on the porn. I mean, there's really that really deranged fisting porn and stuff that I can't understand
what?
That at
Never
all.
Heard of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're such a liar. You were such a liar. Yeah, of course.
That's depraved.
The really funny thing is you can't be online as long as Sim and I have been online without seeing it all online. You know, and there's certain things you just don't look at online. There's places on the web that man was not meant to go. You know, there's
the
just stuff you're not
corners.
Supposed to look at. And I suppose I should introduce Sim at this point. Sim's here, by the way.
Nobody knows me.
Yeah, Sim's here. So we're doing
Hi.
The show. Good. We're together.
Because it's Monday.
Show today. And this is, you know, great Monday start. Hopefully your Monday's going good, because obviously the newsreel has deviated from the format. Huge here. But that's okay. Let's try to get through this intro.
Sure.
And as part of the intro, you will note that you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which you can be reached at sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, even though my grammar's completely screwed up and all my words don't make sense. You get the general idea of what I'm trying to convey to you through this microphone.
I don't get it.
And you will know it's time for me to turn the page when you hear me say nothing, absolutely nothing. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and Box Music Networks. And soon, apparently, we're going to be heard on more networks. Is that true?
Oh, you betcha. All over the world on every talk radio station.
You got to at least
ever.
Make it sound like it's believable. You got to make it sound like, oh,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
you're
be-
everywhere. You'll be taking over the world.
One station at a time.
One station at a time.
No,
free
we're
in the world.
We're going to get some syndication going with some other stations and stuff.
Are we?
And get you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'll be hot.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be really sexy. I'm looking forward to that.
People want to hear you.
And, of course, they're free to do that. They're free to distribute this newscast any way you see fit.
Oh, yeah.
You can record it. You can put it on CDs. You can throw it like a frisbee for the dog. You can actually find neighbor's cats, attach the CD to the cat, one of those annoying little backpacks, and let them go home. Give them to carrier pigeons with, like, a website, a little fortune cookie note. And incidentally, that's how some dude in the Powerball, like 20 people won the Powerball in the United States because they used the lottery numbers on the back of one of the fortune cookies that they got. And then,
really?
Yeah, and those numbers came up. And so all these people are now sharing their fortune cookie Powerball lottery. And you got to wonder how I know that.
How do I know that?
That's
You're
because
so dialed in.
I'm dialed in. Not only am I dialed into the web, but I am dialed into a plethora of rant media listeners who are out there, you know, constantly giving me the straight dope. And there's so many news stories that I don't even put into the newscast every day. You only get the cream of the crop.
That's right.
That's why I don't talk about Terry Schiavo. I don't talk about the dead Pope. I don't talk about any of these things.
You can just turn on any TV or radio station and hear that stuff all over.
It was really great, actually, because I was listening to the news the other night. And there was this dude who was like on, you know, coast to coast, because I talk about that from time to time. And yeah. He was like Father Wingate. Wingate's all like, he's got this huge prophecy. He's based his whole life around this prophecy regarding Pope John Paul. But him dying the other day didn't fit with his prophecies.
Uh-oh.
So he's on the show going, no, he's going to pull out of it. And, like, the whole fucking world is like, no, dude, he's not going to pull out of it, man. Even the Pope's like, I'm afraid dying. So, and, you know, he's like, no, you're going to pull out of this because it goes with my prophecy. Yep. And, of course, he checks out. But he said on the news show, on Art Bell's show, he goes, or actually it's George's show, because everyone always, I feel bad for George. He took over for Art. Art was doing it for like a billion years. I was like, oh, you're not as good as Art.
That's tough, eh?
Yeah, it's got to be hard to fill, like, big shoes. Big shoes. Like, let's say I do this for another 20 years, and, you know, somebody's going to be like, I'm taking over for Sean on Newsreel.
Ooh, good luck.
IRC going empty. Getting more. Because no matter who it is, no matter how badass he is, it'd be like if I tried to follow Henry Rollins. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good.
People will believe that.
Yeah. Right? You know, or I'd spoken word with Sean doing Jell-O stuff. Yeah. No.
It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't. So, but, I mean, he's done a really good job. And everyone's like.
You still listen to it. So.
And it's, well, I always listen to George. Yeah. And because he had these guys come on one show. I remember it was some dudes who said they had new information and they didn't have new information. And he got pissed off over there.
Oh,
now,
God.
George, you got to bear in mind, George has like been in the game for a million years. Like, he's broadcast, like, his kung fu is mighty. I rip on these newscasts, but like, these guys who've been doing it for a billion years, they've been there forever.
So you better follow through.
So he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. So for him to get mad on the air, and he's reading sponsor spots, and you can hear it in his voice that he's gripping his teeth, and he's like,
he gets that mad.
Oh, well, that's the only time I ever heard him get that mad. And fuck, he was pissed. But I respected the guy more than anything else, because I cannot not respect someone who's not able to get angry. You know, somebody who's not able to, like, you know, get mad, throw a graph paper around the room. I can't respect that at
That's
all.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, I have to respect that, you know, when a guy can do that. But moving into Sort Yourself Out. This one here is from Molly Wire. So, Sean, on today's show, which was the other day, you were talking about Matrix system here in America. Now, the Matrix system is, of course, for those of you who don't know, this is this massive Uber database. It is the database. This is the mother of all databases. What it does is every database from everything that you've ever done, from your college rent to your taxes to your bank statements to your purchase records to whatever, is all put into this one huge database. So all anybody has to do is access the database and go, oh, Sim, and they get, like, your everything ever electronic that's ever been connected to you in any way, shape, or form winds up going to this Matrix database.
So aptly named the Matrix.
Yes, which I'm like, wow, that's right up there with, like, information, the Total Information Awareness Network and with the eye in the pyramid. I'm like, who thought that up? Like,
who
guys
approved this?
Like, who fucking checked this out? Like, yeah, are they yeah, laughing? Cool, they're going, yeah. They'll be like, yeah, they wait till the conspiracy nuts see this. Their head's going to fucking come off.
They must say that.
They must have said that. Like, Donald Rumsfeld must have looked at that and went, oh, yeah, they're going to fucking have a nosebleed when they see this. You know. They must. I mean, they've got to be fucking with you. I mean, if they came out with, like, this eye in the pyramid and, like, this dead, free, you know, child with the pyramid crushing them or something, like, Jesus fucking Christ,
guys.
They
come out with, like, a big hand and a world spinning in the middle.
You know, with Donald Rumsfeld's face staring at it, licking it with his tongue, you know, doing the Gene Simmons. Like, Jesus Christ, guys. You know, couldn't you just hire some PR people? Like, if not, you should fire your fucking PR people, because it'll be like, yeah, come up with a logo that'll really fuck with the internet, guys. You know, really. Anyway. On today's show, Matrix System in America, right? And the general distrust you have of its use. I have a question. Were a trustworthy president and administration in office, would such a database be bad? ? I don't think it would be. I know that one should always question the government's motives, but if we knew that the system wasn't being abused, I know the ideas is far-fetched, but can a guy can dream, right? And that's from Molly Wire. So, I mean, he's saying that if this, you know, massive database with every piece of information is in there, is that a bad thing?
If we're in a utopian society and everyone was happy and nobody did bad things?
Well, I mean, he's got a point here. Okay, a database on of itself is a bunch of info. That's all it is. I mean, it's info. It's neither good nor evil. It's like guns. Neither good nor evil.
It could be false or true, but not good or evil.
Chemical weapons, neither good nor evil. Okay?
Chemical weapons. Yeah, those good chemical weapons.
Well, dude,
it's good stuff.
You know what? If the shit gets that thick and I need to use weapons, I will use whatever the fuck is at my disposal to kill people.
Okay.
You know, that's just the way it is.
Kind of good, I guess. To defend yourself.
Don't get me going on those
in the worst possible way.
Don't get me going on those MS-12 guys invading Arizona, because, you know, I'm here to tell you. Anyway, but, you know, I mean, they are simply a device.
It is a thing. Yeah.
Things are not good or evil, dependently. You don't believe anything.
I didn't kill you, the bullet did.
Yeah, I didn't kill you, the bullet did. That's right. So
evil bullet.
Evil exercises bullet. So do I believe that, however, you have to look at things like chemical weapons and this database and go, how can this be used? If you look at a chem weapon and you go, is this a good or evil thing? You go, no, it of its nature is not good or evil, but the way it kills you is it melts your skin off and you turn into a little pool of shit on the ground. The Matrix database can only really be used to track every movement that you do. You see, like, how can this database be used for good? It can't be used for good, just as chem weapons cannot be used for good. So although chem weapons themselves are not a evil thing, they are a bad idea. So when you look at the Matrix database, you go, can this be used for good? No. Like, and even if you could argue that it could be used for good, just as I would argue, chem weapons could be used to kill your enemies, you'd think, is there something else you could do that would, you know, provide the same effects without the negativity? Well, and I would say there is.
Well, it's good because it'll keep track of what type of pizza you like. So when you phone back the next time for pizza, they'll say, oh, you like this type of pizza.
Not required. Not required.
Exactly.
Not required. So
not necessary.
Is it really the propensity for it to be evil and be used for evil is huge. It's huge. It's like the One Ring. You know, was the One Ring evil? Not really. Wasn't it that bad? You know, I mean, I think Sauron was missing. Like, Sauron could get some lawyers. He could have that spot. You know, he could be like, you know, Sauron. That's Donald right. Rumsfeld. Sauron. Donald Rumsfeld. So, you know, you kind of look at this. You know, he's got the ring rates. He's got, you know, his little ESS, you know, Sauron. Donald Rumsfeld. I think it's possible. So, I think that, could it be used for good? Yes, it could. But I think the ability to use it for evil is far worse and far outweighs the possible good applications for the Matrix. So, you know, I'd be all going Agent Smith there, personally. That's just me. That's just me, though.
Yeah, Sam? Data should be on a need-to-know basis. They don't need to know my data.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if it was voluntary, there'd be more than enough stupid motherfuckers out there. They'd be like, oh, well, whatever.
It'll help me. Yeah.
It'll help me. Oh, who cares if there's spyware? It's just part of my computer, right? You can't really get around. You know, click, just, you know, whatever. Down. I like, oh, someone sent me a screensaver with pussycats. You know, this is the kind of stuff that you have to deal with in a day-to-day life. So I agree that I can see your point, and there are uses for this technology. Like in Britain, there was that guy, they found that terrorist dude is 21, he had a piece of paper that had all his soldiers' personal information on it and his home address, and he's not a citizen of the country, and this guy's going to the soldier's house. Like,
it's a great argument to throw our rights out the window.
It's a great argument to throw our rights out the window, but, you know, case in point, it did actually catch this dude. You know what I mean? So,
sure.
You know.
Great.
I don't agree with the Matrix myself. I don't think it's a good idea. I think the propensity for it to be used for evil is
huge.
Huge. And other things are used for huge is straight into the news. We have the USA's top 25 hit list of countries to invade. U.S. intelligence experts are preparing a list of 25 countries deemed unstable and thus candidates for intervention. Intervention is the new politically correct term for invasion. National Intelligence Council, a State Department office that collates intelligence from strategic planning, meaning they're intel guys, will compose and revise a secret list every 6 months, the Financial Times reported Thursday. So you know that's – or Tuesday, rather. So you know that's good stuff. Carlos Pascual, a formal ambassador who now heads the newly formed agency – Jesus, there's a lot of agencies – said the NIC would identify countries of, quote-unquote, greatest instability and risk to clarify priorities that allocate resources. Okay, why the hell do they care? Why does the U.S. government give a shit about these other countries that they're politically unstable, so we need to go in there and invade them to make them politically stable through war? Political stability through invasion. Pascal said conflict prevention and post-war reconstruction has become a mainstream foreign policy challenge. Jesus, Bud Ward's theirs. Because of the dangers of terrorism and weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction. You know, seriously. Everywhere. Need to go to Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction. You know, there's no weapons, dude. There's no weapons of mass destruction found. You know, and everyone's still talking about weapons of mass destruction. And the only people with weapons of mass destruction are who?
The U.S.
The U.S. And, like, who's the second largest nuclear power in the world? Would you like to know? No. No, it's not, actually. When the Soviet Union dissolved, they went, bleh. There's some little khaki stand, shitty stand, nobody stand, white trash stand country over there.
Yeah.
That's got like 3/4 of the Soviet Union's nukes.
Because they didn't go anywhere.
They're still in the fucking silo, right? And just because the country disbands doesn't mean all the silos. So there's like a couple of these little shithead, you know, balkanized nations over there that are like major nuclear powers that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about weapons of mass destruction? Half the country's silos. You know, there's no farms. It's just missile silos. So I'm a little concerned about General Kyrgyzstan, Mamala Vano Wugga Wugga Witch. Okay, I'm concerned about that dude who's got his finger on the button. Okay, those people scare the living crap out of me. So I think that should be more of a concern than some country. Oh, look, they're sitting on all this oil and they're politically unstable. See, they voted, you know. Like, it's just and obviously we're worried about political instability when when Arizona is being invaded by a 20,000 man illegal army, which is running drugs and guns into your country, and you're like too busy.
Well, let's send everyone overseas to fight some other war that's, you know, it's not even a take care of your own people first.
I wonder if these people actually play Risk. You know, because if you were to play one of those, you know, like those games, you know, from like Total Ownage, where you, what's that? What are they called? Like the guy plays Total Ownage. The Total Ownage guy. What's his name?
He plays
a certain kind of game.
Oh,
he plays like third person.
FPS?
First person, he plays the other one. It's like MMORG or MMORG.
Who is it?
Oh, we suck. Third person games. Anyway, anyone who plays any third person war game would tell you that the U.S. is going to get itself owned. Like, badly. Like, noob. U.S. is noob. Anyway, so it's just kind of bad. Now, another bad idea is the U.N. versus the Internet. Now, the U.N. is a nutless organization that couldn't save, you know, the world from a brown paper bag. They couldn't stop the genocide in Somalia.
It's a big debate forum that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, right? It doesn't do shit. Okay, they're afraid to call things genocide. Well, now the United Nations is going up against the Internet. The United Nations last week lashed out at what it calls the U.S. monopolization of the Internet, which is true. The U.S. is monopolizing the Internet. And you urged the...
invented it, so...
and urge the UN to employ more rational and just governance system. The call to move the internet management away from ICANN into the UN jurisdiction has grown louder. A number of countries complaining that ICANN operates with an American bias, which without a doubt it does.
Yeah.
Most of these countries want to see the internet governance handled by the 138-year-old International Telecommunications Union, a division of the UN. To aid that migration, the UN recently established new internet governance group dedicated towards dealing with spam, cybersecurity, and other internet-related issues. Good luck, buddy. You'll never see that happen. That'll never happen. The U.S. will never give up control of the internet to the UN.
No.
No freaking way.
Not a chance.
At the first, however, we could use this if the hacker and the counterculture were to get behind the UN. My enemy's enemy is therefore my friend.
This is a bad idea. Any kind of centralization of the internet is so bad.
Well, it's already
right
centralized.
Now it's lawless. Every country just run its own little internet and connect to the big one. And rather than the UN control everything.
At the First World Summit of Information Society, ICANN President Paul Tuomi, great name,
Information Society. That's a band.
Wasn't allowed to attend at least one of the meetings. From outside, he told the journalists at ICANN, anybody can attend meetings, appeal decisions, go to Ombudsman. What a weird name. And here I am outside the UN meeting in a room where diplomats, most of whom knew little about technical aspects, are deciding in a closed forum how 750 million people should reach the internet. I am not amused. I am not amused. Well, Paul, we're not amused either.
Either way.
The anti-ICANN sentiment from Europe wasn't aided by ICANN's proposal for a new rate structure last summer, which less affluent registrars in many smaller nations believe was unfair. In the past, pass rates were determined by a number of global top-level domains a registrar wanted to sell from. ICANN has switched from a flat fee structure regardless. ICANN switched from a flat fee structure regardless of size.
Okay. Well, go register a domain name in another country then. Make your own up.
Ta-da!
Do whatever. The internet's wide open.
I know. It's sick and weird, but there it is. So that's what they're talking about. So that's you know, that's news. That's up there. You know, you got to follow that. And now we've got, everyone's heard of convergence, the buzzword of convergence, where all tech is going into one device. Have you heard about this? Well, it seems that...
Yeah, my cell phone needs to do everything.
Yeah, it's a really bad idea. I like redundant systems. I like having a modular tech. You know, my watch does watch things. Maybe it has...
Fucked! My phone's broken!
My phone's broken. Well, guess I'll wait for the monsters to eat me. Not so good. Now, apparently, but in the pharmaceutical world, that's a good thing. Wait, no, it's not. Because now all the European countries' pharmaceuticals are converging. Multiple pharmaceutical giants converging into
that
one.
Already.
Yeah, it's just great. Pharmaceutical convergence. From banks to pharmaceutical companies to property concerns, there's a growing spat of takeover activity across the globe, and Europe is along for the ride while it lasts. Some of Europe's marquee names, the Swiss drugs makers Novartis and the French department store Galeries Lafayette, are center stage in a current round of mergers and acquisitions, adding to the takeover fever. Banco Bilbao Vicenza Argentina of Spain confirmed Tuesday that 6.4 billion euro and or $8.2 billion bid for Banco Nello's del Lavrero, the sixth largest bank in Italy. So the banks are all getting together. That's great. So eventually it'll be like, there could be only one, and there'll be like one corporation that runs the world. The deals come as companies groaning with the profits Groaning with profits. Groaning with profits.
Groaning.
That's what it says. It's coming.
Profits.
I think it's growing with profits, but I like groaning. Profits. My sweaty palms and short strokes as I jerk off my wad of cash. Are seeking ways to expand their business and buy out funds with access to cheap borrow cash, are beefing up the war chests. Both see a window of opportunity in making acquisitions, a moment of relative calm, an otherwise risky economic environment, and ahead of possible rise in inequality.
All about money. More
We've got
money.
A benign environment for borrowing. What the fuck does that miss? Says Henrik Al... Says... What the fuck name is that?
Askalakasen.
Says the prisoner of Alkazban, the Dutch bank's managing director of European mergers and acquisitions in London. The low cost of capital is one of the factors helping drive the interests of private equity groups into making acquisitions. So the massive, you know, takeover of the world through... Now, you know, eventually there's only going to be so many mergers, and then it's going to turn into what? It's just as it was...
One company.
Well, just as it happened in America, this trend, just as you have range wars in America, we're going to have trade wars, you know? And in some of the stuff that I'm writing now, I'm really taking into account, like in the after now, in the far after now, I talk a lot about, you know, after the burnout and everything's all crap, and I'm really only talked about the wastelands and the great American, you know, nowhere where it's all burned out. But, you know,
talked about the arcologies.
I haven't talked about, well, the trade wars. The coming trade wars, that's what I'm afraid of. Never mind any of that stuff. Do you think it's possible that corporations would use a nuke to increase their profits? I think it is. I totally
Anything
think it is.
For money.
If you would strategically place a nuke, you could drive stocks any way which way you want.
People.
Oh, yeah,
Why
sure.
Why not kill them?
Yeah, you bet. So that's the trade wars are coming, baby. I'm here to tell you. And adding to this, we have the dying dollar. The U.S. dollar is dying. The dollar was only retaining some of its value because of fears of global economic catastrophe if it was rejected as a currency trade. This is what somebody said in his keynote address, Leadership and Age of Uncertainty, the Age of Global Effect in Business. But the catastrophe will come one day because of even the most powerful country in the world cannot repay loans amounting to $7 trillion. That's what Dr. Mahathir said at the closing three-day international CEO conference.
That's a lot of money.
Yes. The uncertainty is with the timing, not whether it will collapse. So they're just saying that, yes, the U.S. is going to collapse. It's just when. Noting that the dollar has devalued as much as 50% against the yen, it said it was doubtful if the greenback could recover to its old strength. Instead, it would continue to slide. As President American administration under President George W. Bush did not consider its deficits worth reducing. Dr. Mahathir said that due to America's huge deficit, the U.S. currency had no backing, but continued to be in use because some people still accept payments in dollars.
Are there any countries that actually have a surplus of money? Like, all I hear about is the biggest countries in the world always owing to the World Bank.
Well, the thing is that I'm not an economic god. Yeah. I am not an economic god, but I do know that most countries have to back their money with something.
Right.
So they say that
gold.
My money is backed in gold. But America backs, every most countries back their money in gold.
Right.
America backs it in oil. And the Federal Reserve doesn't actually back it in shit. If they need more money, they just print it. Like, if you look into the Federal Reserve, it's really... they're going to...
an unstable...
Oh, my God.
Dollar, then.
Oh, my God. And, of course, the Federal Reserve is a weapon used by the European Union. So Europe wants America to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, be it good, be it bad. Whether America deserves to fall is totally moot. I don't think America deserves to fall because I kind of like a country founded on ideals versus, you know, serfdom and old money families and all that kind of shit. Okay, so I'm hoping America doesn't fall, but it seems that big money is in bed with big money and they don't care because George Bush's family will just skip country to another country and they'll go hang out with Tony Blair. Who cares? There will come a time when we will switch away from the dollar, and we have suggested the use of gold for international trade. This is what Dr. Mahathir said. He added that if companies did not want to be shortchanged, they should insist on payments in alternative currencies such as that of the euro or be paid in U.S. dollars but in euro equivalent in value. Dr. Mahathir later told reporters that he was giving his personal views after having studied the current depreciation of the dollar. Now, the dude who's making the statement is obviously against America, so he's probably trash-talking America. But still, he's got a lot of valid points here. Unless the Americans change their president and have a more responsible president who will try to reduce the deficit, there will be serious trouble with the U.S. currency, he said. Now, this isn't just him just saying this. There's people all over the world claiming this crap, and all that happens is Alan Greenspan crawls on the TV and says, no, everything's fine. And who the hell is Alan Greenspan? The guy's not elected. He's just a Federal Reserve crony. The dude, like, is... totally loaded. I mean, it's all just a big money. No, everything's fine. And everybody goes back to normal. It's absolutely fucking insane. And you will remember the other day I was talking about the A10 song, which I put at the end of the show. I was talking about Die Krupps. And there was the A10 song, Fatherland, which I called the A10 song. because I remember that coming out back in, I think it was 97, when the A10 went missing, okay? But I got an email from a listener who's watching. He went, whatever did happen with that A10 because they found the wreckage. But
yeah,
here's a bit of an update on that. Apparently, they found the A-10, but they missed the 400-500-pound bombs that the A-10 was carrying. They never really found those. Frustrated and puzzled after a 72-day sweep, the Air Force yesterday gave up a search for 400-500-pound bombs from an A-10 warplane that crashed mysteriously in the Rockies. And if you look at the wreckage, I don't think it even crashed, because I think, there's some wreckage here. That was the A-10. Yeah, we don't know where it is.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to speculate as to where they are. I'm just going to stick to the facts, said Brigadier General Donald Streeter. We have not found any conclusive evidence of the bombs. During a five-month sweep of the 13,300-foot Gold Dust Peak, Air Force crews have recovered the remains of an A-10 pilot. So they found the pilot, Captain Craig Button, along with 9 tons of debris from a 13-ton aircraft, but found no trace of the bombs. Radar, reconnaissance flights, and magnometer devices were used in the hunt for the bombs, and a Navy diver explored one of the 7 lakes in the area, the general said. One Navy diver to do 7 lakes, and he only did one of them? That's a pretty switched-on diver. An environmental recovery company will help to continue and collect debris until the snow returns, probably in about 2 weeks. Now, this is an old story, but Streeter said Air Force has no plans to return the search for the bombs in the spring, so they're not going to go look for these 400-500-pound bombs.
Which are probably gone. Or
well,
they would keep looking.
Dude, they're 500-pound bombs. I mean, this is a bomb. You set the bomb. It's not a missile.
Yeah.
All you need is a plane. You set the fuse to a proximity, you drop the bomb, it goes off. It's a 500-pound bomb. So, Super Bowl, Macy Day Parade,
yeah.
You got 4 of them. That's a strafing run. 1, 2, 3. I mean, think about it.
Yep.
Let's see. We're going to have a Super Bowl Day parade, so we'll drop one in the Super Bowl. We'll loop around. We'll hit the Center for Disease Control.
And a plane can carry 2,000.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's a plane out there that's civilian market that can carry 2,000 pounds. I mean, there's lots of civvy planes. Yeah. Cessna will take 500 pounds of luggage. You get the right one. How much do people weigh?
Any
plane that can carry like 12 people would carry 400-500-pound bombs.
Yeah.
You just got to get a flight plan. We're flying from here to here. Pitch out the side door, and that's it. When you're dealing with a 500-pound bomb, close counts.
Yeah.
So
they're not saying they're taken. They're just not.
We don't know where they are. We don't know.
They're gone.
And, 4 or 5, what the hell was this plane doing armed with 400 or 500-pound bombs?
Flying in the U.S.
And flying in the U.S. anyway.
I don't know, transporting them.
Now, a lot of these car companies are going off about biometrics. We got a biometric ID and stuff like that.
Oh, it's safer. It keeps your car secure.
Way better.
Nobody can break in but you.
Nobody has obviously done any research on any cyberpunk novel ever, and they're not thinking like evil fucks. Or watch any movie. But, y'all knew this was coming. Well, here's the flip side of biometrics. Police in Malaysia are hunting for members of a violent gang who chopped off a car owner's finger to get around the vehicle's high-tech security system. The car, a Mercedes S-Class, was protected by fingerprint recognition system. Well, accountant K. Kumanaran's ordeal began as he was run down by 4 men in a small car as he was about to get into his Mercedes in a Kuala Lumpur suburb. So he's getting in his car. Wham! He gets hit by a small car. So he's run down by that car.
I bet he's glad he didn't get the retinal scan system.
Yeah. The gang, armed with long machetes, demanded the keys to his car. It is worth around $75,000 secondhand on the local market, where the prices are high because of import duties.
Expensive car.
The attackers forced Mr. Kumanan to put his fingers on the security panel to start the vehicle, bundled him into the back seat, and drove off. But having stripped the car, the thieves became frustrated when they wanted to restart it. They found that, again, they could not bypass the immobilizer, which needs the owner's fingerprint to disarm it. They stripped Mr. Kumaran naked and left him by the side of the road, but not before cutting off the end of his index finger with a machete. Police believe the gang is responsible for a series of thefts in the area. Now, this is one of those reasons why people ask, and if you don't think, people are like, wow, that's really extreme. Glad I don't live in that country. Dude, it's coming. It's coming. Okay? As things get more desperate and the haves and the have-nots separation occur inside the United States, that's coming, man.
Yeah.
And if you don't think it is, you better clue in because, baby, things are looking gross. And you'll have to look at things and say, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should actually be more concerned with security.
You have to think, what could go wrong with this?
Yeah. So, but no, they don't do that. Now, I all the time make mistakes. I make mistakes regularly. As a matter of fact, I look forward to making mistakes because when I make mistakes and I realize it's a mistake, I grow.
Mm-hmm.
I grow.
That's right.
Now, with this Abu Ghraib thing, you know, I was talking about the torture and stuff like that. Well, then the photos that have been released and the things that have been talked about as torture, that some of these photos aren't really that severe. Those are just the photos. Well, apparently there's photos that weren't released that are a lot more severe, as this story will state. And maybe I was wrong about some of the stuff that's been going on in Abu Ghraib. The images, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told Congress, depicts acts that can only be described as blatantly sadistic, cruel, and inhuman. After Senator Saxby Chambliss viewed some of them as in a classified briefing, he testified that his stomach gave out. The NBC News reporting that they show American soldiers beating one prisoner almost to death, apparently raping a female prisoner, acting inappropriately with a dead body, which doesn't mean shit because he's dead, so who cares, and taping Iraqi guards, videotaping Iraqi guards raping young boys. Everyone who saw the photographs or the video seemed to shudder openly when contemplating the reaction when they were eventually made public. But they never were. After the first batch of Abu Ghraib images shocked the world on April 28, 2004, becoming instantly iconic, a hooded prisoner standing atop a box with electrodes attached to his hands, Private First Class Lyndall England dragging a naked prisoner by a leash, England and Specialist Charles Grainer giving a grinning thumbs up behind a stack of human meat, no substantial second round ever came, either from Abu Ghraib or any other locations in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Guantanamo Bay, where abuses have been alleged. The ABC News broadcast two photos from the notorious Iraq prison on May 19th, Washington Post printed half a dozen on May 20th, and three more on June 10th, and that was it. It refutes a glib claim that everything leaks sooner or later, said Federation of American Scientists Stephen Aftergood, who makes his living finding and publishing, let alone government information, and fighting against state secrecy, which I get his privacy newsletter. That's something I've linked to on the show. It's cool he made mainstream news. While there may be classified information about papers in almost everyday life, there's a lot more classified information that never makes it to public domain. So now they're saying that when you have a breakdown in leadership and military command where you have your soldiers raping prisoners, okay, that's not something you do to get information. You don't rape someone to get information.
No.
I'm all for tying some son of a bitch to a chair and beating the shit out of him to get some intel. Okay, I'm all for that. You know, because that's war. That's what you do in war. It's unfortunate. This is why you don't go to war. War is shitty and bad. And part of the shitty badness of war is that you sometimes have to demone people to figure out what the hell is going on. That's unfortunate. But it's necessary. Now, raping a female prisoner, that's a crime of violence that isn't really... I've never known of a torture technique ever. And believe me, I know a lot of them. That involves rape, demoralization, maybe breakdown of a person. But if you rape them, that's we're getting near the war crime level there. That's Nuremberg-level stuff. So, you know, maybe I've been wrong. But sometimes I've said that some of the torture that
but
was going on
these
places...
But you didn't have all the data.
But I didn't have all the data. So it seems that some of the torture that was coming out of these places appears at first to be a little bit more severe than was warranted. So I would say that we need to know exactly what the fuck was going on there. So
obviously
we can
say they've been protecting their own.
Yes. Obviously, it would seem that the so-called torture, which they're stating, is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, a while back, I also talked about BrainGate. You know, I covered this, and I've gotten a lot more articles because here's a bit of an update regarding the BrainGate technology. For those of you who don't know, BrainGate is a company that makes a chip which is implanted inside the brain, which we all like, brain neural implant chips. Isn't that exciting? But what this does is helps a dude who's paralyzed be able to control things in his environment wirelessly. So, I mean, it's like it's got right above hardware. Now he's like cybernetically psychic?
Yeah.
Would that be...
Telekinetic.
No. Telekinetic is moving physical objects.
With your mind.
He'd be cyberkinetic.
Cyberkinetic.
Yeah. There. Cut. Jerry. Print it. Cyberkinetic. So he's a cyberkinetics. A severely paralyzed man has become the first person to be fitted with a brain implant that allows him to control everyday objects by thought alone. Matthew Nagel, 25, was left paralyzed from the neck down after a vicious knife attack in 2001.
Ow.
He uses a wheelchair and is unable to breathe without a respirator, and doctors say he has no chance of regaining the use of his limbs. He's fucked. Actually, I suggest you go to France where they can probably get him his limbs back because they're implanting fetal baby tissue in your spine, but everyone hates it because you have to use aborted babies.
The babies!
Think of the aborted babies! I'm not thinking of the aborted babies. They're jam. Whatever. Get them in my spine. But following an operation in New England's Sinai Hospital in Massachusetts, Mr. Nagel has become the first patient in a controversial trial of brain implants which could help disabled people become more independent by tapping into their brain waves. During a three-hour operation, electrodes were attached to the surface of Mr. Nagel's brain. They were positioned just above the sensory motor cortex, where neural signals for controlling arm and hand movements are produced.
Cool.
Surgeons completed the operation by fitting a metal socket to Mr. Nagel's head so that he could be hooked up to a computer.
Ooh,
holy
it's like
shit.
It's like a Matrix.
The scientists led by Professor John Donahue, a world expert in neurotechnology at Brown University in Rhode Island, used a computer to decipher the brain waves picked up by the implant. In early trials, Mr. Nagel learned how to move a cursor around a computer simply by imagining moving his arm. Now, I remember he reported on this. So you can move a cursor by going, my arm, my arm.
My arm.
By using software linked to devices around the room, Mr. Nagel has since been able to think his TV on and off. That's like X10 kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Change channel and alter the volume. Eventually want him to be able to use it to control the lights, his phone, and other devices. What happens when Mr. Nagel goes horribly, horribly wrong?
Mr. Nagel's loose.
What happens when Mr. Nagel goes evil? What happens when Mr. Nagel listens to Newsreel and decides he doesn't like the Matrix? Never thought of that.
He'll turn your lights off.
That's right.
He'll cut the power.
He'll cut the power, man. How can he cut the power, man? He's crippled. In most recent tests performed earlier this year, Mr. Nagel was able to use thought to open and close artificial prosthetic hand and to remove a robotic arm to grab sweets from one person's hand and drop them into another. Mr. Nagel stealing candy. He's also sharpened his skills at computer games by playing an old arcade game, Pong.
Uh-oh.
Okay, somebody needs to help Mr. Nagel. He
needs a better video game than
that. Boom,
get him some Counter-Strike.
Boom, bing. I'm sorry.
Boom, headshot.
Boom, headshot. Boom, headshot. Headshot. Yeah, sorry. Mr. Nagel, we need to get you some first-person shooters out there. Guy. But that's hot. I mean, that's pretty cool tech.
Yeah.
You know, the day he can be like, yeah, you can multitask by answer talking on the phone and surfing without using your hands, and you can use your hands to work on the assembly line, so now you can answer email while assembling stuff.
No, he needs a mech.
That guy's all about jet fighter interface. Yeah, seriously, I'm like, I fly.
I didn't know how to do it.
Seriously, cripples like that, you put him in a cockpit, he can't run around, right? Have him take off, refuel in the air, and you've got 24/7 cybernetically enhanced jets.
Yeah.
You've got a cyborg in there. Seriously, when you're flying and you're a jet, it's thought controlled. Really,
it's you.
You are the jet.
Yeah.
You are. I mean, this is kind of like, if you ever get a chance to check out a movie, check out Macross Plus. Great piece of anime.
Yeah.
And it's a film that talks about this exact technology as applied to a jet, where the guy's like, he's like Zen meditating, and he's all getting very, very cool stuff. And this is the beta of that, you know, exact tech. Very,
you know,
very
the military's
cool.
Looking at that.
Oh, yeah, hard. Hard, like DARPA's like, oh, yeah, we're just hanging out. We're sweeping in here. No big deal. You know, we're just hanging out, checking this out. It's very, very, very cool. Now, in the UK, wonder of wonders, in the UK, they have rejected some DNA profiling. I cannot believe.
I was surprised.
This is unbelievable. Hoorah for the Great Britain. Proposals for national scheme to make DNA profiles of every baby born in the UK have been rejected by genetics experts.
How
hooray!
Could they? How could they?
The Human Genetics Commission, HGC, and National Screening Committee had been asked to assess the pros and cons of baby profiling. They concluded it would not be cost-effective and pose some ethical problems. Supporters of
but
baby...
mostly probably the cost-effective thing.
Well, probably wouldn't be that much because it costs. They got to do shit. They got to
Britain doesn't have ethical problems.
No.
Ever.
I've never seen
them have an ethical problem except for this one yet.
Supporters of baby profiling said it helped predict the likelihood of developing diseases later in life. Not to mention all the mental... this child is genetically looks like he could be a gamer.
His IQ's a little low.
This child looks like he may not fit in.
Into the Strider.
Who's that kid in the back of the room? It is reported to ministers the HGC recommended that the issue be re-examined in 5 years. What, it's going to be more ethical in five fucking years?
Oh, yeah.
It said at present it was not likely to be publicly affordable.
See,
but developing technology should eventually bring down the cost.
See,
what about
that's
the ethics?
That's what it's all about.
So
I knew it.
Ethics doesn't mean shit.
Nope,
so in 5 years it'll be more ethical because, you know, the national...
It can't
you know,
be more ethical
oh, yeah.
in 5 years.
Should a national scheme go ahead, then a vigorous safeguards would be needed to protect confidentiality and minimize the risk of discrimination, the HGC said. Well, meanwhile, none of these assholes can keep data private because identity theft is the number one fucking cause. They lose like a million names every day, and you're expected to keep that secure? Kiss my ass. However, it said it would be very difficult to ensure that information would not be misused. Yeah, you think? There are also concerns about if and how a child would be informed if found to be at a risk of a disease.
Billy, you're going to die at 10.
Hi, Billy. I know you're 4 and you want to join the sports team, but your readout says that you're predisposed to have like some kind of joint misfunction, so no, you can't do anything,
no
Billy.
No health insurance for you.
No health insurance for Billy, because Billy is genetically inferior. Sorry, Billy. You should hate your parents because they didn't have you turn into an Uber child. You get to go to the bad schools where you learn how to be a blue-collar worker instead of the white-collar worker. White, white-collar, white, white-collar, white, white-collar worker. White, white sheets, white, white, white kids. All the white kids at white-collar jobs at the white school. Uber. Oh, my display driver.
Oh, now you did it.
Now it's gay.
There you go.
There we go. Sorry, just to bring you guys up to speed here, my laptop is slowly dying as everyone is, and now my guns have gave out. I'm like the only person on the planet where the screen just went black. Fuck it. But I've still got, so I jack it into this whole shit kick monitor I've got, and I've got this laptop. It's now not even a laptop. It's bigger than any desktop ever because I got wires and external power source. I'm like milking this laptop for all its worth. It seems that, like my laptop, army vets are now jobless. Yes, it's true. And not like I didn't call this. That these guys would be coming home from the desert war all fucked up like February and totally unemployable. Well, it looks like 40% of the 700 Oregon National Guardsmen.
Okay, well, that's where they all went.
Yeah. Who just returned from Iraq and Afghanistan or unemployed. These are people neck shooting other people in foreign countries that come home to America. America, land of the free, home of the America, where we stand behind our troops because we give them a discount. America, where we give them their license plates. America, where they can't get a job. Some didn't have jobs before they were deployed. Other members of the 2nd Battalion, 162nd Infantry, which arrived home last week, lost their jobs while they were on active duty. Now, there should be a law against that shit. Their numbers are far bleaker than overall's unemployment rate, which stands at about 6.4%. So 40% of these assholes don't have jobs now.
Yeah.
So America's all cool, provided that, you know, it doesn't hurt their bottom line on the dollar economy. The high unemployment rate among Guard soldiers certainly was a surprise to me, said Raw Cannon, Labor Department's Director of Veterans Employment and Training in Portland. Okay, how can that possibly be a surprise to you? You take these fucking guys away from their jobs for like a year. You won't like they're, some of these guys are doing back-to-back tours because they can't get people to replace
them. Aren't those government jobs that they've lost? And isn't the military government as well? How could they be surprised?
No. They're civvies. They're twice the citizen, right? They have civilian jobs, so they can survive. And these are
the Oregon National Guard is a civilian job.
No, it's an extra job. It's like your second job.
Okay.
So when they get tapped and they say you get to come with us, they go to their other job and they say, "Oh, sorry." It's like in Three Kings where they went back and they were working at like you know the airport or they're working
at
wherever.
Could this be an encouragement to maybe reenlist again and go for another tour?
Well, they're already enlisted as national.
Oh, you don't have a job. Yeah, why don't you just go back?
Yeah, well, it would definitely pressure these guys to go reg force.
Yeah.
To not be your national guards. Be like, but chances are they just came back from being shot at by every single dude in the Middle East. And like, hey, you're white. I don't give a shit about anything else. Hammer rounds at you. You know, and this is some scary shit. So yeah, chances are they're like, rather not die. Rather not get geeked. Rather not get blown the fuck up. So no, I'm not reenlisting, but I'd like to have a job because I served my country. The high unemployment rate among Guard soldiers certainly was a surprise, he says. But, you know, realistically, anybody who looks at you're going to take people away from a civvy job for a year, they're going to be unemployed when they get back. Duh. The problem has prompted the Labor Department to offer Oregon a first-ever training program for returning soldiers. And it moved Governor Ted Kologonski to publicly call on employers to give them a job. Higher returning soldiers are going to have a tough enough time readjusting civilian life after the extended tours overseas, neck shooting people, and blowing up houses, said the governor at a news conference. They don't need to be worrying about whether or not they're going to be able to find a job or not, Kugowski said. The employers of the state can do this. All they have to do is step it up and make it a priority to hire a vet. Yeah, except for the fact that you're going to be concerned about your vet wigging out and crying because he's got an alcohol problem because he can't handle the fact that, you know, he's watched kids shoot at him and he's had to shoot several kids because they were firing at him. He's got to deal with nightmares. He's got to deal with a whole load of shit. Before the deployment, some of the guardsmen were in school or couldn't find work in Oregon's hard-pressed economy, instead relying on part-time guard pay as their main source of income. Federal law requires employers to hold open jobs for guardsmen if called for active duty. Okay.
So what happened?
But the law has a number of exemptions, including economic hardship and changes in the ability of a soldier to perform his or her work duties. Oh, your hands got blown off. No, you can't be a gas jockey. Sorry. That applies to Sergeant Bill Stout, Oregon's 2nd Battalion, who won't be returning to his full-time job in National Guard Blackhawk helicopter crew chief because he suffered back injuries pulling other soldiers out of burning Humvee last June. Before he was called up, he got his adrenaline rushes and his paychecks helping rescue stranded hikers in Mountain Hood. Oregon Guard Specialist Frank Holster, who stood at the news conference with Kogonsi, said his environmental protection job with Salem was eliminated while he was in Iraq as a member of 52nd Engineers. He said that he looked for jobs since then, but thinks that the likelihood he could be called up again hurt his chances. Yeah, because obviously these guys could be called again if they're still part of the National Guard.
True.
So they're like, hey, you want to hire me? Oh, by the way, I'm in the National Guard. We're in a time of war. So they're like, fuck you, guy.
Oh,
we're going to hire somebody who's
then.
Not. They want somebody who is going to be there, Holster said. Well, you know, that's all part of the new corporate image, because very soon citizenship is going to be out the window. Here's a prophecy for you. You want another Sean Kennedy prophecy? Here it's going to go. Since multinational corporations go past borders,
yes,
very soon your citizenship will be secondary to what company you work for. Because that's why work visas now, do you have someone who employs you in this country? And your work visa will become more important than your citizenship. And as these private corporations hire private military companies, you'll have Toshiba having its corp cops, corp military, and everyone. So suddenly your work visa becomes your passport.
You're a citizen of the corporation.
You betcha. And now we are no longer going to have countries. Everything's going to be corporations. Not like I called this or anything. Jesus, and I never even went to university. Look at that. Basic powers of fucking observation over here. Look how clever I am. Check out the big brain on Brad. Fuck. And to add to this, of course, Hewlett-Packard is making their own little brown shirt army. Hewlett-Packard and Magic Johnson Foundation have opened a technology center in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, they'll train young people from underserved communities. It looks like undeserved.
It is.
They'll train youth from underserved communities in computer skills. Servers, notebooks, and printers, and digital cameras worth about $80,000 have been deployed at the new center. The company said the center will provide an after-school program for young children and those up to 18 years old, involved activities such as tutoring, homework, help, recreation, and access to computers. It will provide job development services for adults as well. HP has committed $1.4 million to such centers all over the country over the next 3 years, which means that they learn how to use HP equipment. It also means that they learn that file sharing is wrong and morally unjust. I mean, why is HP doing that? Why are they doing it? Why is HP spending $1.4 image, recruiting, job services?
Mindshare.
Yeah, I'm sure that Mindshare totally to develop Mindshare. I am nervous when you see corporations doing this kind of stuff. And oil prices, in case you haven't fucking noticed, are getting really scary. Oil hurtled back up to $56 a barrel on Thursday as Goldman Sachs Bank, the biggest trader of energy derivatives, said the prices could ultimately surge way above $100 a barrel.
So double the prices right now.
Double the price of oil. Fuck. The Goldman Sachs report strengthened gains driven by a fall of U.S. gasoline stocks and fresh buying from investment funds over the dollar as the dollar weakened. The U.S. light crude jumped $2.11 or 3.9% to a high of $56.10 a barrel, with within $1.50 of 57 recorded high struck on March 17th. And I believe oil just closed at its highest ever just the other day.
Highest ever.
Ever. Benchmark Brent futures leapt 2 points, and it gets a bunch of oil prices have climbed around 25% this year as signals that rapid demand growth in emerging economies in China, and India will strain world supply, ignited heavy buying from big money funds. Now,
everyone here has had to change their signs because they can't put on the new prices because they're too big.
Now, do you think for half a second that the United States and the powers that be will not use biological weapons and manufactured plagues to wipe out people who are the predominant populace within India and China? Do you not think that a disease like AIDS, like a plague, could sweep that region of the world that is genetically predisposed to fingerprint attack people who are not white? I'm here
quite
to tell
a claim,
you.
Quite a claim.
It's not my claim. This is not my claim. This is on the wire. There's a lot, like, genetics are scary shit. That's how they can look at your blood and go, oh, you're Chinese. Oh, you're Indian. Oh, you're white. There's a lot
well,
of
they can.
They can. So there's a lot of tailor-made diseases that can be put out that can just wipe this whole country out. Yeah. Very scary shit. And if I'm thinking of that,
with an airborne virus.
We'll make it, you know, sexually transmittable. You know, we've already done it with AIDS. It was listed in the Biological Weapons Manual published in 1968 or 1969. We already know that that's a man-made virus. We know that's moot. To deny that AIDS is a man-made virus is an act of disinformation. Okay, we all know it's a man-made virus. Cut the shit. You look at how it broke out. I remember when AIDS broke out. There was an airline pilot who fucked a monkey and then strategically had sex with people all over North America. Kiss my ass. How high do you got to be to believe that? Well, it broke out in Africa right after the World Health Organization immunized all these villages. And it broke out in the villages in order right after the World Health Organization immunized them. Like, connect the fucking dots here, okay? 2 + 2, guys. Come on. And these oil prices, okay, lead me to today's daily hack, which is adding acetone to your gas might give you 35% better mileage. How sexy is this? Acetone is a product that can be purchased inexpensively at most locations around the world, such as in the common hardware, auto parts, and drugstore. Added to the fuel tank in tiny amounts, acetone aids in the vaporization of gasoline or diesel, increasing fuel efficiency, engine longevity, and performance, as well as reducing hydrocarbon emissions. So if this is true, and we need to do some research, the site goes on and on about it, and maybe guys like Apanthropy could go check this out, because I know
he would know all about this.
A gearhead.
He would verify this.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, you know, the only way to verify it is to break out, you know, your old shitty beater and go, you know what, I don't care about this car anyway, let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
And if I had one, my car's on propane right now, which I have to sell to buy a laptop, but whatever. We're going to, you know, if you have an old shitty beater, why not try it?
Yeah,
you know?
See what it does.
Because if I can, and they talk about these carburetors. I've heard about carburetors that do that. And I know APAN sent me this big thing saying, no, it's impossible. But I've read a lot of other stuff that says it is possible. So the only way to do it is to build it and try it out. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Now, Sim, you had some news. What do you got?
Yes. Well, some crazy, crazy people. Well, Coin, C-O-I-G-N, right. Has transcribed the first three episodes of After Now.
That's great.
Which is insane, right?
It is insane. I'm not really gifted verbally to convey to you how incredibly humbled I am that people enjoy After Now that much. I whine a lot about how much, you know, they're always pressing, more After Now, more After Now. But, I mean, I will ensure to you, I promise you, that my next After Now that I do, the After Now, and it is coming, I do intend to finish it.
Yeah.
But it will be of the highest quality. And to make sure of this, I have to listen to all the other episodes. Make sure that there is no contradiction. Because the last thing I want to do, guys, is do, like, an Aliens 3. You know, that's the last thing I want to do. I don't want to do a Highlander 2. I don't want to be like, oh, After Now was cool before Sean fucked it up. You know, that's my fear.
The
sequel sucked. I mean, the first two seasons were rad. And then he did that third season where he was a security guy. I don't think that fits, even though I don't know what he's doing with this and blah, blah, blah. And obviously it does fit, but no one really knows how. You know, pet peeve. But anyway, so
go
what
check
else
that out.
Yeah.
And your old radio show, Sean Kennedy Radio Show, is a new look to it. Very nice.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it look sexy?
Yes, it does. That website is hot.
Yeah, Nighthawk did that. So
very, very hot. And thank you so much, Nighthawk. I sent him a real quick, you rock swords, as my typical email response. But thank you so much, guy. That is so huge.
And Smokehouse is back on the air.
Of course he is.
His show is out of right field, Monday through Thursday at 2 p.m.
Oh, good. Good. So Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, 2 hours each. So he's doing a lot of talking.
Monday
through Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And he's going to do 2 hours.
2 hours each day with Mark Hopkins. His co-host.
Oh, wow. Smokey. Yeah, so that's some hardcore
putting in some
shit.
Time.
And Mark Hopkins, I know him too.
Yeah, he used to do a show on his own. I can't remember what it is right now, but they joined forces. And
good luck, boys.
It's tough.
Take it from me, Smokey. You do that, man. Art's the shit. I think he can pull it off.
I think so, too.
I think he can pull it off. All right, go ahead. Go, Art.
And DJ IZ, he's on the Rant Industrial Channel. He's doing another 2 hours of live industrial music. So he's now on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as
hot.
Well as Tuesdays.
Hot.
Cool.
Very cool.
And Game Radio moved to Wednesdays at 4 p.m. And we've got a new show, and I'm going to go download it when I get home. And it is a show about professional wrestling.
What?
Yeah. Show about professional wrestling.
Oh, my God.
Hunter Orange and Chuck Diesel, 17-time champion, run down the past week in professional wrestling.
Well, you know what? If nothing else, if we can get the wrestlers on board, then, you know, the Wogs and the Rant movement. I mean, because Goldberg looks like a space marine to me. So I'll just get all these wrestlers. You know, and you can send the cops and the ERT team. I wonder what the ERT guys would do. If they go to search a computer room and they're like, we'll get this fucking dork in his basement. Oh, my God, it's Goldberg. You know, that's the future of the cyberpunk, by the way. And why not? If you can hack your body with drugs and do steroids. That's why it's called sports medicine in Denmark, by the way. That's why all major in Denmark, steroids are legal. So that's why every major bodybuilder and most of these professional wrestlers, they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But they spend about a year in Denmark fucking huge. I'd do it. Fuck yeah, I'd do it. I'd go to Denmark tomorrow and roid the fuck out. Why not? Provided it's medicine, dude.
Yeah,
it's your body.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and provided it's done properly and not
and
with
supervised
some, and
you know
some junky
on.
Shithead in some gym somewhere. I mean, I'm not advertising
try
that.
Try these, man.
But, I mean, this is technology. So what else you got? What else you got?
So that's on, I think, I don't have it written down. I got to update this before I send it out. Premiere show is today. Oh, not today's. yesterday, on Sunday.
On Sunday.
I think it's on 1 p.m. Pacific time on Sundays.
Hot.
Yes.
Hot. So if you didn't catch that this week, make sure you catch it next week because it'll be out next Sunday at 1.
That's right. And that's it.
And that's all you got?
Yep.
And that's all I got for you today, and that's all Sims got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the news and information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by a generous donations of those people willing to fight against the tyranny that is threatening the world.
And that's the new list, right?
And this is the new list. This is Forleet, Dave, the Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melikin, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Steve again. Or am I saying this name here? Because
no.
It looks like a last name.
No,
that made it on there somehow.
I don't know why that's there.
Steve and another Steve. And Steve, whose last name I'm now deleting. Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad? Is that the band Triad?
Maybe
it is. I think it is. If it is, because I got a hard on for those guys. I think I'm going to use their music quite predominantly.
I think it is, actually. Yeah,
yeah, which I'm going to be using their music in After Now for sure, because it's hot.
Oh, yes,
Matt,
great.
Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael. Is that a Michael? Michael.
Yep.
Daniel, Art, Darmute, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Alan, and new subscribers this
Woo-hoo.
Month. Very, very cool. Thank you so much, guys. Druid, Weissamaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much, guys. And for God's sakes, don't ever send me your real name so I won't go.
You're the people that make this happen.
Yes. Without you, none of this occurs. None of this occurs. I work for you. So, essentially, there it is.
Yeah.
And special thanks to some hard net runners who, you know, get out there and they're in the trenches. These people are frontline guys. Many, many of these people had to die to bring this information today. And the people who died bringing this information today were No Delete, Valerian, Hairbringer of Chocolate, MCT, Skyburst, Judas, People Tree, Vavrek, Sabo, Hero Protagonist, Rainstreak, and a fat belly dancer with narcolepsy. Oh, and if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, and you can donate to make sure that this newscast does, in fact, stay on the air. No digital baptisms today,
but
if you have something you want me to name other than your dick, please, please, because somebody wanted me to name is Dick.
Yes,
and somebody even suggested,
that.
Like, you should name it Cock Blocker.
I saw that, too.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, you know, if you want me to name something, name it up, and I'll think of something cool. Upcoming events... Nothing other than Nauticon.
Nauticon's just this week, I think.
Is it? Yeah, I think it's on the 8th and 9th. So it's next weekend coming.
This weekend.
Is Nauticon. You betcha. And thanks again for everyone and in their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the new self-titled album by Apocalyptica, who's always hot. And always cool. So, do you got anything else, Sim?
No, that's it. I'll be here next Monday.
And I don't have time to put any music in the background because I got too much news for you. So, we're just going to cut right back to stream. And until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.